What do shoelaces, stripes, and a centurion have to do with one another? Well, hold on. Because guess what? Yeah, that's right. That's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. It's a Friday. You know the drill. You have 48 hours to get as many people to church as possible. Get them to a Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled, just Jesus-filled church. And if your church isn't open, hey, come to Hillspring Church in New Prague. We're open, no mass, worshiping Jesus. You wouldn't even know that there was a pandemic if you walked into our church, but don't tell anybody. Hey, thank you for reaching out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Thanks for listening on 97X, Podbean, Apple Podcast, and the others. Also, if you need a website, check out Webstix, WebStix.com. Tony Herman, coolest cat on the net. Amazing company. Make sure you check them out. Also, WellBuiltSupplements.com. All kinds of supplements. Top of the line. Amazing stuff. I use it. I wouldn't promote it if I didn't. And if you go there and you buy something, type in the code WellBuiltTDA to get 15% off. Hey, we've got the conference coming up. I've been getting a lot of emails and even questions on our social media via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. The conference is free, okay? It's free. People are emailing me and messaging me saying, hey, the poster doesn't say how much. It's free, but we're limited to only 200 people. So this week I did a shout out podcast or a phone call. I'm not sure what you'd call it. To a group of chiropractors, a bunch are fired up and coming. Thank you guys. Thanks for signing up at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. But it's free. And I want to tell you again, we are putting the final touches on this. We're right now working with the worship team. It's going to be just an amazing time. So make sure you check it out. It is May 21st, 22nd. That's Friday night and Saturday at Hillspring Church in New Prague, Minnesota, which is just south of the cities by about 20, 25 minutes. Make sure you come, bring a friend, but register via email at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Have I said that email enough yet? Okay, good. Today, we're talking about shoelaces, stripes, and centurions. Maybe you don't know what shoelaces are, or maybe you don't know what a centurion is. We'll get into it. I want to just talk to you for a second about a story right out of Luke chapter 7. And it's pretty amazing. It starts in verse 6, but it's about this centurion that's a Roman official, a Roman guard to some degree in the military, who sends for Jesus because he's got a slave that is sick. And this slave obviously means a lot to this centurion. So he sends for Jesus to come heal the slave. So we catch up right here in Luke 7, starting in verse 7, in verse 6, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to enter under the roof. For that reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under myself, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slaves, do this, and they do that. Interesting, because the centurion says, look, I do not feel worthy. That word there really means a humbleness. It's a deep-seated emotion where you just feel like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. It's out of a deep humility. It's the same word that's used in Luke chapter 3:16, when Jesus goes down to be baptized by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist looks at him and he says, baptize you? I'm not even worthy to untie your shoelaces. I'm not even worthy enough to untie your shoes or take your sandals off. Now understand, the centurion has the same understanding of who Jesus is as John the Baptist. Now, maybe not as the Messiah, but he has a deep understanding of the power and the reverence that Jesus has. He goes on, he says, I'm a man under authority. The centurion, he wasn't a Jew. He did not have a heritage of faith, nor do we know that he actually believed in Yahweh. In fact, he was a Roman officer. He was a Gentile. And he doesn't even know Jesus personally or even by acquaintance. But what we do know this about him is that he believed Jesus had the power and he understood the authority that Jesus had to tap into God the Father. We don't know if he thought he was the Messiah. We just know that he knew this guy knows how to tap into God the Father who has all power. To him, all he cared about was that he saw Jesus as a man of action, power, and results. What we might call in scripture fruit. It's interesting that the man does not claim to be a follower of Jesus, but probably still believes that Jesus has some type of in with God the Father. Now, when I look at this story, there are so many angles to look at it from, but I'm going to try to keep it practical to us, and I'm not going to twist the scripture or become some hyper-faith pastor, preacher, teacher. This is really simply what you see in scripture. Here's my takeaway. The centurion understands authority. He may not completely understand who Jesus is or what the idea of a Messiah was or the Jewish faith. He might not understand any of that, and we don't know. But the one thing we do know, he understands authority. Look, in Scripture, we see different types of authority. There's sovereign authority, the authority of the truth, the authority of conscience, delegated authority, functional authority, customary authority, contractual authority. But what he understood and what we need to understand is the one we just said, delegated authority. He understands authority that has been delegated to a person. So the centurion understood delegated authority. He knew that God had given Jesus authority. My question to you is, do you realize that God has given you authority? Do you understand now that Jesus has taken stripes for our healing, died on the cross for our forgiveness? He has paid the price, and through that, he has given us the authority as believers. Have you ever thrown a fit for not getting something that you paid for? Like, hey, I paid for this, and I didn't get what I paid for. I've a couple times. I'm not real proud of myself to some degree, but at the same time, I paid for it. I remember one time buying a drum shield from a company. And I was in town. It was in Madison. I bought it, and I took it back to the church, and it wasn't what I paid for, and I took it back. And I threw holy hell until I got what I paid for. And the same time, I remember buying this giant stereo system, and the person who sold it to me promised me at the store it could do this, and I took it back, and it didn't do this. And here's the problem. I had already taken a hot, solder iron and soldered our church's name in it. So that if it got stolen, you know, they'd know it was ours. And they said, well, we can't take this back because if you were to use the solder iron to put your name in it. I said, well, you can take it back because it's not what you said it was. I paid for X and you gave me BS. I mean, XB or XBS. Anyway, I said, I'm not leaving until I get what I paid for. Well, they said, we can't do this. Well, we went up the chain to the assistant manager, to the manager, to the district manager. And guess what? I got a hold of the owner. And I told him, it's not my fault I put my name in this and now I have to return it because they told me and sold me the wrong thing. It's not what I paid for. Give me what I paid for. I'm not asking for freebies. I'm not asking for favors. I'm just asking for what I paid for. This is the power principle. This is understanding God's authority. Because this is how his authority works. I pray for someone's healing and they don't get healed. Unacceptable. Sorry. I get ticked. Why? Because Jesus paid the price and he gets what he paid for. He's given me the authority through his name to heal the sick, to heal the blind, the lame to walk, to cast out demons. I will pray. I will badmouth the devil. I will pray more. I will get mad. I will pray more and pray more. Jesus gets what he paid for. Period. That is why my authority is based on him, on his stripes, his blood, his death, his resurrection. I was praying for a woman out at a blues festival last year, and she was in a wheelchair, kind of a walker wheelchair, and she had been in a terrible accident. And she said, well, the doctor says I need to be in this for a few months, and And so I started praying for it, and I said, do you feel anything? No. I kept praying, do you feel anything? No. I said, okay, well, let's keep praying. Kept praying, and I mean, I got so mad. I just grabbed her hand. And now listen, this is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So don't just go out and do this and hurt someone. But I grabbed her hand. I said, look, the Holy Spirit says you're healed. Get up and walk. She's like, what? I said, get up and walk. The Holy Spirit says you're healed. And I picked her up and I said, let's start walking. We started walking across this giant field where they're having this blues band and all this stuff going on. And we just started to walk. And I said, you're healed. You're healed. Jesus paid the price. He gets what he pays for and you are healed. And as we began to walk, she began to get healed in her back, her knees, her arms. Look, I'm not special. I just understand God's authority. He gets what he paid for. Here's one little tiny thing that might twist your brain inside and out. You may not even have to be a Christian and still be able to practice God's authority in healing. We saw this in the centurion. I've seen it in others. Chew on that for the weekend. And until Monday, keep slaying giants.